Project. Welcome to the Refuge Project. The Refuge Project is a place that we can have meaningful conversation in a safe place.
You nailed it that time.
We are your hosts, baby.
Who are
Pastor
we?
I'm Pastor David.
Who are you? And I'm James.
James, and we are here.
In the house.
We are here. Go check us out at the Refuge Project on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, man. I keep not posting. Dude, we should take a selfie today.
Yeah, we should do something. We'll do something.
We'll do it. We'll remember.
Reach out to us there. And y'all didn't seem so excited about all the video stuff that we had put out. So unless y'all tell us something different, we're just going to get rid of it.
Just do some audio.
Just do some audio. Play it while you're mowing the grass, driving down the road, working, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
We got plenty of listens over there on the audio. Video. Not so much.
And it's a lot more work.
It's a lot more setup. It's editing. It's a lot of that stuff. Audio, we can just, you know, push stop, upload, and we're done.
Yeah.
So unless y'all want something different, and y'all go into the Refuge Project Facebook, YouTube channel and start watching that stuff, we're just not going to do it. So let us know. Other than that, man, how's things been going?
Things are pretty good, man.
Yep.
We had that show over the weekend. It went pretty good overall. It was a lot more stressful than it should have been. There was a lot more kinks in getting the show going.
So which one was this?
This was the one we did at the coffee house at West End.
Oh, right.
Which is that hip, swanky coffee place that's part of West End Church down on Sheldon Road in Houston.
Okay.
And so they have events here and there. They have these open mic night things, they call them. You got to like kind of call and sign up, but they
Weston Church, like a church.
Yeah. Okay. It's like this big, the dude was telling me some of the history of the church. It's a big church.
So it's on Sheldon Road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not too far.
Or at least the coffee place. Yeah. Weston, I think, is right next door. Okay. So,
that's not too far from your house, right?
No, I mean, it's far. It's in Houston. Oh, I live in Baytown, dude.
So not Sheldon, the Sheldon right here on I-10?
Sheldon, that's like right through the middle of downtown Sheldon.
Okay, so not the Sheldon Road right there in Channelview.
No. Okay. I think you're pointing the wrong way. I'm pretty sure Channelview, Channelview.
Yeah. Downtown's that way, Sheldon right there. Yeah, you're right. They can't see me point.
Yeah, it's true, but touche, not anymore. Whoa. Anyway, so they have open mic nights that me and Ben played at like 5 or 6 months ago. We played at their first one, and it went really good. It was a cool place. The sound was good, all that kind of stuff. And so whenever we were trying to do another show, I was trying to think of a place that we had a good experience, the sound was good to play at, and I figured we just kind of put it on ourselves. And so I hit them up. I hit up the manager guy there. I was like, what do you think about us doing a show? He was like, sounds great. Let's do it. But they have never done like a show there. They have services from the church there. And then they had those open mic things. But they had never like put on a show there.
Okay.
So we were kind of a trial. You know, it was the first time. We're just winging it on most of that stuff. And I'm putting it on myself. So I'm taking care of everything. You know how it goes.
Sound man?
I'm the sound man. So they have their sound guy. And he was good and he's cool, but he was like, they said they pay him $250 every time they have him run something there. And so when I talked, I got this other band to play with us, and when I talked to them about it, they were like, hey, it's a husband and wife duo. Mm-hmm. And the wife was like, yeah, Michael, the husband, she was like, he does sound and da, da, da. And I said something about how I do sound. She's like, if you guys want to just do it, you know, we could save us all $250, and that might be
so
good.
So he did sound for y'all, you did sound for them.
So that's what we did, which was fine, but it was a lot more work because we didn't have somebody setting it up for us. So it's like you can't just go set your stuff up. It's like you got to set your stuff up, and then you got to set up all the microphones and the sound stuff. And the place is kind of tough to run sound at because there's no monitors there, so we brought in our own monitors. And then the speakers, they're basically behind the microphones. Mm. So it's really tough to get things loud without the microphones feeding back. Mm-hmm. And then I also found out that because the speakers sound really nice, but I found out they're not as powerful as I thought they were, so they don't get as loud as I thought they could, which was a bummer because we were trying to put on like a legit rock show. And usually when they're playing stuff, it's like quieter worship music, or it's the open mic thing where it's a lot of like acoustic guitar stripped down stuff. And it sounds great. It's just at a low volume.
Right.
So anyway, and then we got there at like 4:30. That was like our load in time. But we needed, they have these platforms for a stage. And they usually just have this one skinny platform. It's probably a little bit bigger than this desk here. But they have more of them in the church next door. And we were going to put a few together to make a bigger stage. But there was a wedding going on at the church. So we couldn't get to the closet that has all the stuff until the wedding was over. And long story short, so we got there at 4:30. Doors are supposed to be at 7. So we're supposed to set up that whole time, do sound checks, all that stuff. We don't even get the stage set up till like 6 because we got to wait for the wedding to end. And so since we can't get the stage set up till 6, we can't set anything up because we don't have a stage to set it up on, you know? So now instead of having from 4:30 to 7, we have basically from 6 to 7. And anyway, so the show's supposed to start at 8. So now we're like running behind and da da da. And then I'm real. Anyway, so it was a lot of extra nonsense to deal with.
Yeah.
But it ended up going on fine. We still started the show at 8 when we were supposed to. And, yeah, it went pretty good. Everybody seemed to have a good time, so.
You have to figure out some type of some in-ear monitor setup.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that at some point because the people that open for us, that's what they do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like another – you got to buy the in-ear monitors, which will – the cheapest ones that are worth anything are like $100 to $200.
Yeah.
And then you got to get some kind of transmitter, which I think the cheapest ones that are worth anything are like 300-ish, if I remember.
Right.
Basically, it's going to be like $500-$600 a person. Yeah. So, you know, it's just another.
Just another expense.
It's another thing. Yeah. And yeah, and once we set the stage up, because I brought a couple speakers for monitors for me and Ben. So we set the stage all up in that configuration, and then I realized that their speakers are not near as powerful as I thought. And so if I had to do it again, I would have just changed the stage setup, used my monitor speakers as part of the PA, and just kind of positioned them different and all. But then I was going to have to change the entire stage around, and it was already like 7 o'clock, and
time to go.
So we didn't do that. But
how does it
but
turn?
Overall, it was a win. We had like 30 something people. Plus the staff at the place. So each, and we just split the ticket proceeds three ways. So Eucalyptian got a third, the other band got a third, and then the coffee house got a third. So I think each group walked away with like 165, which is something, you know. But I wasn't trying to like get rich off of that show. I just wanted to get a good group of people together to play a nice show that wasn't a horrible show that sounded horrible and all that kind of stuff.
Give somebody a good experience. They'll come back.
Yeah. Oh, and the manager guy, he was like, I might have to start paying you a commission check because ever since you guys announced that y'all were playing here, I've been getting all these like people hit me up being like, hey, can we put on an event there? Can we do this? And then, so apparently he's got like 3 or 4 that are
cool
in the works now. Yeah. I don't think he's actually giving me a commission check.
He's not.
But
that's his way of giving you something without giving you anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want a commission check. It's cool, but he gives me a free chai latte whenever I go in.
Hey, that's worth it.
And it was nice.
Yeah.
It was tasty.
Well, that's good, man.
Yeah, but it went good.
That's exciting.
We might have a cool show next week. Waiting to see if these people get back to us. I won't bore you with all the details, but we've got a bunch of good stuff planned, so I'm feeling
good. That's awesome.
Good.
Moving right into the fall season.
Yeah, got a couple collabs almost done, finally.
So that was with that other...
I've got two different bands that we're doing two different songs.
Yeah.
One of them, I finally got the mix and master done. We just got to shoot some video stuff. And then the other one, just waiting for the dude to send me a bass part, and then we can have it finished, and then we got to shoot some video stuff for that, too. But
that's cool.
Yeah, so feeling good.
I always like doing collabs, you know, get some different ideas, and it's normally a good thing.
Yeah, you can kind of spread the workload out, too, between bands.
And then you get kind of a different vibe, too, because it's just not your normal, you know, outlook on music. You know, you get somebody else's stuff in there, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I haven't been doing much lately, to tell you the truth. I'm just working.
Nice.
I'm just trying to make some money and stay alive.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing a little bit of that, too.
So
a little staying alive.
You know Bantober.
What are you saying?
Bantober?
I don't think that's a thing.
I think it pretty much is.
Go ahead.
This is where...
elaborate, maybe.
The school bands are like in full competition mode.
Oh, okay, like marching band, all that stuff. Yeah, Do they call it Bantober?
Is that Bantober. A thing? Every weekend's a competition.
Yes.
So you got Friday night football game, Saturday, you got to go to competition.
Not
so that's what
it's like the whole reason I quit band in
so it really starts in September school. You know and then so that's kind of where we are. We're in like Bantober mode.
Yeah,
Luke's senior year, so.
But doesn't it really start in the summer, because didn't he have summer band and stuff?
Yeah, but the competition like just started.
Yeah,
so all, you know, we didn't have to do any of that, but you know, we're expected to go to these competitions and hear the same song over, the same march over and over.
Yeah,
see it Friday night, see it Saturday night, see it Friday night. It's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing.
It sounds like a great thing that you're excited about.
So Luke made some kind of like area jazz something or another.
Oh, in the jazz one?
No, the jazz band, yeah. So he plays the bigger, I don't know what these things are called.
Because he usually plays a saxophone, right?
Yeah, but he plays a bigger saxophone in the jazz. I don't know what it's
probably
called.
Probably it's called the bass.
Tenor?
No, tenor's the small, high one.
Okay.
So it's probably the bass one.
So he plays a different one in the jazz band. And then he made... What do they call when you go out and you do something, you play blindly or whatever?
That sight reading?
I don't know.
Is the blind thing.
Yeah, but it's like a UIL. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
The UIL competitions.
Okay.
So he made like whatever the state or what area, and then he goes to state or whatever. So.
Nice.
So he's doing all that stuff. So that's kind of like...
Regions? Is that the word you were thinking of?
Regions.
Yeah. I'm trying to take myself back to that area. Yeah. So remember all the
region,
lingo.
The region jazz band.
That's there it is. Was. Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, where's... Good for you, Luke.
So we've been doing that, and it's good, man. They just won this...
That's tough, too, man. He must be doing good.
Yeah, he's doing good. He's got really, like, a lot of competition at his school.
Yeah.
Like, his school... their band is really good. They took like 7 out of 9 spots.
Hey, nice.
In the jazz band.
Very
something
nice.
Like that. So there's a lot of competition there. So I think he's like third chair, but the other two are normally go on to do, get free rides at colleges and stuff. So
that's cool. I would have totally done that for drums if I realized that was a choice when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I would have loved to do that.
Yeah.
Because I did it in the college. Because I had to, as part of my degree, you had to play, like, you had to get an ensemble credit. So you had to play whatever your instrument in some kind of group thing.
Right.
And so I did drums for the jazz band. There was, like, 4 drummers, though, whenever I did it. So everybody would just play one song. And so it was kind of
funny. That's good. At least everybody gets to play.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had to, because they had to grade you. So it was, you know.
That's what he wants to do. He wants to play... Jazz.
Yeah.
This is his passion.
Well, it's way more fun than just playing like concert band stuff. Right. You know, it's way more fun. The songs are more fun and interesting. And
it's a smaller group, and those guys kind of come together.
You get tighter, and
yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah. You don't have all the flags and girls dancing around.
It's funny, when I did the jazz band in college, for some reason, so Deer Park High School had a jazz band, too. I think when I was in high school, they didn't have a jazz band for whatever reason. I remember it not even being an option whenever I was there. But when I was in college in the jazz band, the high school had a jazz band, but they didn't have a drummer for some reason. And so somehow I ended up being their drummer.
In college?
While I was in college. So I would go to their...
Is that even legal?
I don't know, man.
I guess he wasn't playing UIL.
They hired me. I don't remember what they paid me, but I think they paid me like $150 to come play their concert or something. But so it was funny though, because I'm supposed to be like the professional dude I'm in the college band, right? I'm professional. They hired me and I'm playing with all the high school kids, but I couldn't hardly sight read like at all. On drums, because I had never really read music for drums. I had read like some rhythms and stuff in junior high band, which is super simple stuff, but I had never read music for a drum set until like earlier that semester.
Oh, because you're going from like percussion to a trap drum set.
Yeah, which is different. Right. I mean, you're still reading rhythms, but it's really weird the way you read it, because you know they're not pitched stuff. It's right. If you play the piano anyway, so you would have like the ride cymbal will have a line on the staff and you read the rhythms for that. And then the kick drum will have a different space on the staff. And it's very weird to read. And so I had just been doing that like earlier that semester, but I could figure out the parts and then practice it and play all the parts, you know, but actually reading it, especially sight reading it, which is just reading it for the first time. Like I was trash at, and I went to their, I think I got to go to one practice for them before we went to the show. So I had like learned all the parts or whatever, but I get there and he starts playing one song and I say, "Hey man, I don't have the music. What is this song?" And he goes, "Oh, I think I sent you the wrong one. This is the right music." So one of the songs I had learned we didn't need, and then he goes and prints off one real quick and goes, "Here's the right music. Sorry." And so then I'm like having to sight read this music for a song I'd never heard, and I'm supposed to be like the professional dude, like, and I'm just winging it like hard. I felt pretty bad about it. I mean, I got through it somehow, but I was sweating, dude, because I was like, I'm supposed to be the professional dude that they hired, and I don't know what I'm doing right now. But we got through it, and I played, and everything was cool.
So speaking of marching band and the girls with the flags and stuff.
Yeah, you would be still thinking about that.
No, I'm not thinking about that. So the new thing is for the schools to run out their gay kids.
To run them out.
Run them out on the field to throw flags and stuff.
Well, they've been doing that for years.
The gay kids?
The gay kids are always the ones twirling the flags. Well, that's always been the thing. It's the
gay boys, right?
Now they're just calling them the gay kids everybody understanding that those are the gay kids twirling the flags.
Yeah, but this is not my this is the problem. This is where I'm going.
All right, let's hear it.
And then also, this doesn't just have to do with the flags. It has to do with all of these men trying to do female sports. Not saying that the flags are only for females. Okay?
They're for gays, too.
Stop it.
Go ahead, dude.
This podcast does not... James's comments doesn't necessarily
represent... I'm just reflecting what you're saying.
This podcast or Eden Church...
You're saying like they have the gays twirling the flags now. His comments
are reflective of him.
That's like saying all the gays have been in the theater class. Like we know that they gay kids are in the theater class.
Okay, let's get back to
it. Everybody know that's been understood.
Quit saying it. Quit saying gay.
Go ahead.
You said it like 13 times. So you got
the... Hi, so they're twirling the flags. Tell me about it.
Okay, this is the problem.
And you're surprised.
No, I'm not surprised. But this is the problem. This is the problem.
Yeah.
This kid, one of these kids,
yep,
obviously homosexual.
Uh-huh.
About 300 pounds.
Whew.
You know, all the other, you know, ladies or young women are doing the splits and, you know, the cartwheels. So you can't tell me he was the best out of the ones that tried out.
No. Maybe they didn't have anybody else try Come out. On. They just needed a seventh one. Or David's. You know what? We're missing the video now because now you guys don't get to see David's face in all this. Oh, man. It's a good face. Y'all missed
you
it.
You can't tell me that. This is propaganda.
Did you see some like skinny fit kid on the sideline doing them? Just like.
There was one.
Yeah.
This young man.
He just didn't get the cut.
He was good. I agree. He should have been there.
Uh-huh.
His little buddy on the same team. Boy could barely pick his feet up and run across the field.
Yeah.
But this other one, he threw his little plastic gun or wood gun or whatever, and then did the splits and caught it on beat and all the stuff. Listen, I don't agree with your preferences, but you should have been on the field. You were the best.
Yeah, the best.
Big boy. Nah.
They're just trying to be inclusive, David. They want to...
Inclusive, the best.
Yeah.
Inclusive.
This...
That's the word. Include.
They're just trying to... I had this comment. I don't know why this reminded me of this, but I was having this rant with some people the other day, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but Netflix, it's probably on other places too, but there's this big trend of all these special ed people having their own dating shows.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a big thing now.
Dating.
There's all
dating
sorts
on
of.
The spectrum.
Yeah, dating there's the that spectrum. Stuff. There's. I saw one, and they all have these names that you're like, that's not a real. Come on. There's one is called Down for Love. And that's the real name, dude. Go ahead. Guess what it's about. Guess what it's about. And I was having this conversation. I was like, who decided it was okay to just get all these special ed kids and just let us all watch them try to date people? And everybody's just laughing and having... And I was having this conversation with somebody, and this girl was like, well, you know, they're just trying to be inclusive to, you know, other... What if you're a autistic kid? Now you have a show that... you can see other autistic people do it. I said, yeah, maybe, but it seems like it's mostly just non-autistic people laughing at autistic people trying to date each other.
Okay.
So it seems like they're trying to be inclusive to the big boy on the flag twirling team, be nice to him, but it's probably just mostly people in the stands laughing at the fat kid trying to do the splits. I said, who's winning here? Who? Okay. What's nicer? Was it nicer for us to put him on the team so we can all laugh at him? Is it nicer to have these special these Down syndrome kids that we could just be like, was going to work on the girl? What's nicer? Is that really nicer, being nice to these people? It's crazy what's going
this
on.
This is what we... This is there has to be some...
Just didn't seem that nice to me.
We have to... Be very careful.
Uh-huh.
There has to be some people that get involved, because this is the problem. And listen, I'm not saying anything about any special needs people, but what happens when they get together and they procreate?
Oh, is this where you're... What?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Finish this thought. This is a funny thought.
No, it's not. I'm just saying.
Tell me. Go ahead. Finish the thought.
Is it right?
Mm.
Is it right? I'm asking a question. I'm not even trying to be funny.
I know you're not. That's why this is...
Is it right for us to procreate when we know that the baby is not going to be healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Totally performing at its best.
Isn't that a thing in like Russia where they just like abort all the special babies?
Well, I'm not saying do that.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, that's basically.
But I'm saying maybe we should just be very careful about letting them have sex unprotected.
Letting them, man.
You know what I mean? Like.
You're talking about them like they're like an animal or something. No, you're like, I'm you can't, really, I can't really let this whore. I really know you're not trying to, but that's basically how it's going.
No, it's not. I'm just saying, like, because they're not living on their own, most of them.
It's true. Yes, good point.
So, I mean, the parents have to have a part in, you know, either putting the young lady on.
Getting them together.
Getting her on birth control. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe I'm being totally wrong about this, and they should be able to live their life the way they want to live their life and procreate if they want to procreate.
Yeah.
But to me, that just doesn't seem very healthy for another human being brought in. I understand if it happens and you don't know and you're the two parents, because a lot of times two parents getting together just it doesn't create healthy babies, right? Chromosomes and stuff like that missing, and I understand that. But when you know for sure that if these two get together and they're going to have another baby, I think that there's some responsibility on us as people, mothers and fathers, or whoever it may be, to try to prevent that.
Well, it's a good point, because who's going to take care of that baby?
Right, because they're not going to be able to.
Yeah,
they're having to be able to. Like I don't even know what you call him now, because the word used to be retarded.
Yeah.
But I have a retarded cousin.
What, like he's autistic or what?
No, he's retarded. Like, I don't...
Well, there's different kinds of...
Yeah, but he's not autistic. He's, like, really, like,
okay,
like slow. Like, yeah, yeah. Like, what you would medically call retarded when I was young.
Yeah.
You know? He's, like, 35 years old, and he still acts like a, mm-hmm. you know, a three-year-old, mm-hmm. you know? So he has to be taken care of the rest of his life. Like, his dad is now 75.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's, like, had living him to his sister to take care of for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we have to, I don't know, maybe we should get somebody in here to talk about
it. I don't know what the answer is to that, but I know it doesn't seem like putting them on a game show so that everybody can just watch them and laugh is a good answer. That seems pretty messed up to me.
Yeah.
But there's like so many of those shows, and it's like taken over. It's a whole trendy thing.
The only one I ever seen was Dating on the Spectrum.
Yeah, there's like five of those shows.
And that one was done
pretty well. I haven't even watched them. I just keep seeing the titles because yeah. I'll be flipping through like, what am I going to watch? And I see Down for Love. And then I'm like, what is this stuff?
What are you asking? What are you watching?
I don't know how they keep recommending it to me. I've been watching like Painkillers, and I've been watching Alone. Ooh. I've been watching Meat Eater.
Painkillers was a good show.
Yeah, like this is what I'm watching. Nothing like Down for Love.
You know what mine recommends me? More like army movies, you know, man stuff.
Yeah, I get it. Well, okay, dude, I finally broke down and got my own Netflix account.
See, maybe that's why.
Well.
Or this is your new Netflix account.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's a new algorithm.
Ah, so that makes sense.
So the only things on this algorithm are Painkillers, Alone, Meat Eater, and I watched the Boy Scouts documentary, too. One about all the child molesters and the Boy Scouts, which everybody knows that was a big thing, but I didn't realize like how crazy it was.
They just they shuffled it under the cover, the under the table.
Yeah, so you know how like
oh this happened, oh it just went away.
Yeah, well, dude, it was the number they said because they're like suing the Boy Scouts, right?
Right.
And
it's like the Catholic Church.
Yeah, but it's worse because okay, so you say that, right? Everybody knows what you're talking about. They go, oh yeah, there is the priest and the Catholic Church is a problem. And if you say that with the Boy Scouts too, most people know that they have that same correlation. But dude, it was the number they said of people that were like on the lawsuit that claimed some kind of sexual abuse was it was 80-something thousand people. 80-something thousand. It wasn't like a dozen here and there. I mean, it was over 80,000.
Wow.
That's crazy to me. I didn't know that the number, I don't know. I knew it was a big thing because that's what we associate whenever, like you could make a joke about that and people know what you're talking about.
80,000 kids.
I think it was like 82 something.
Wow.
It is crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Speaking of algorithms, so...
But I've never clicked on Love on the Spectrum or anything. But for some reason, they keep suggesting that stuff to me.
So do you, like, click on, like...
That's literally the only things that are on this that I've watched on Netflix. Oh, and I watched an episode of Trailer Park Boys. I've never really watched that show.
So I suggested that to me.
And I watched an episode.
I never clicked on it because I'm just like, I just don't want...
It's a bunch of foul language is really it.
Well, this is guess what I just recently did about a month ago? My algorithm on YouTube just kept giving me like only car stuff, mm-hmm. which is fine. I like mostly car stuff.
Yeah.
But I wasn't seeing anything else.
Yeah.
Right?
Which I hate that.
So what I did was I deleted my history. Mm. So my algorithm started over.
Oh, nice.
Except for the ones I have subscribed to. Uh-huh. So I still kind of get some of that. Worst decision of my life.
Well, you can't find anything good to watch now?
No, it's just so bad. Like, the algorithm is actually pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's good. But it's not good when you want to watch something different.
Yeah.
You know, if I watched a bunch... So if I watch a handful of... I watch a lot of random documentaries on Netflix. Too, yeah. I just like that stuff. But if I want to watch something fun and lighthearted, because, you know, I've just watched a bunch of heavy documentaries about sexual abuse or whatever. Now I want to watch something fun and lighthearted. Well, none of that gets recommended because I've been watching a bunch of dark documentaries about corruption and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
I turned on something the other day. What was it? Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh, yeah. That old movie?
Bro.
It's crazy.
I had to turn it off. The sexual stuff that happens in the very first few minutes, I'm like, oh, what is going on? I felt like I was watching porn.
That story itself is a super interesting story because it's based on a real guy.
Right.
But the movie is, you can't watch the movie.
No. Not as a Christian, you can't.
No. I think I did the same thing that you did years ago.
I ended up like going and like reading about him because I wanted
to. It's a crazy story.
Yeah, because it, you know, it was based on a true story. So I wanted to read it on this stuff. But it was.
Yeah, it's too. You can't watch that movie.
No. Not with a good conscience.
But the whole thing was, we've been on Tara's parents' Netflix account for forever. Right. And Netflix finally did that thing where they're like, this TV is not part of the household.
Yeah, you got to pay for it now.
Are you traveling? Or are you And Tara didn't want to like ask her mom because what it'll do is if you can select, I don't remember what the option is, but you can select the option and it'll like send you a code in your email that's associated with the account.
Right.
She's like, I don't want to ask my mom to get the code. And so we just didn't watch Netflix for a few weeks. So we had like nothing either. And then finally there was a few things coming out. Oh, I lied. I watched a few comedy specials on Netflix too. Cause there was a few that came out on there that I wanted to watch. And I was finally like, you know what? We'll just make our own Netflix account. We'll do it. Netflix kind of stinks now because it used to be.
You're having to pay for it.
Well, cause it used to be $8, right? That was it. It was $7.99 or whatever. But now they still have that option. But if you choose that option, it has ads. And that's the whole reason you watch Netflix, because there's no nads.
Oh, I can't.
No ads.
I do the premium.
If you want the no ad one, you got to do, it's like 15 or 16.
Wow, double.
Yeah, which I signed up for.
Yep. I got the premium on YouTube.
But I was like, geez, man, 16.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, Netflix.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Down for Love, dude.
Down for Love. See, that's...
Yeah, dude, they have these names. I'm like, that's the real name you picked for it? It just seems like they're just... Anyway.
Anyways. Yeah. Well, I guess let's jump right into...
Culture Corner.
Whoa. So here's the thing. Whenever I started looking over this story again, like right before we started this thing, I feel like... We actually had this story several months ago. But this thing says it was published on September 25th. So I don't know. But here's the story.
Okay.
Here's a headline. Mexican police arrest Chucky doll for threatening the public. Does that sound familiar?
No.
All right. Well,
maybe you read it and never brought it.
Maybe that's... I don't know. But this thing was just put out.
Oh.
So anyway, so there's this dude.
Deja vu.
Yeah, maybe. Ooh, deja vu. So there's this dude who had a Chucky doll. And he was like, people would walk by in the streets and he would threaten them and like try to rob them with the doll. And he had a knife with the doll.
Okay.
And people called the police and they're like, hey, there's this dude with a doll out here threatening to kill people with a knife unless they give him their wallet kind of stuff. And so the guy gets arrested and they arrest the doll. And which is that's the whole reason of the story, because they take a mugshot of the doll.
Come on, stop it.
Yeah, so they have the guy, and then they have
you got a picture.
They didn't include it in here, but you can see the doll, like the lady's carrying the doll.
It's got handcuffs on.
Yeah, they put handcuffs. That's what I'm saying. So they just kept like treating it like it was a. Here's the doll in the corner. They held it up. So you can imagine
they watched too many movies.
Yeah, dude. So
they're like, "No, we're not bringing that into the jail. Do you put handcuffs on?"
Yeah, dude. And so they did it. But then people started complaining. Like the police department got complaints because
they were
complaining like the police weren't taking it serious or something like that because they're like handcuffing the doll and stuff. And so, and so actually one of the policemen, he got like reprimanded because of it.
Oh.
It didn't say
but
exactly.
You know they were though. Like, hey man, it's going to come on. Let's book them.
Yeah.
Book them, Dano.
But so the end of the story is they let the guy gets out on bond or
something. What about the doll?
And they take nobody knows where the doll is now.
Mm.
That's how they go, oh, but the doll's gone. Doll. Can't find the doll.
Mm. It's in evidence somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's what the policeman literally said. He said it's in some storage facility. with evidence for stuff.
Just kind of looking around like,
yeah,
just waiting for Friday the 13th to like try to escape.
But yeah, dude, so it's crazy to me that the guy was like, I'm going to rob people, but I'm not just going to rob people. I'm going to use the doll.
So, like, I guess he, like, held it up, like, and he's, like, behind it and, like, give me all your money or I'm going to kill
you. It's,
yeah. Eat all your kids.
Yeah, I get, yeah. Mm.
But you know, at this police station, they're just like, yeah, we got to do this.
Yeah.
And that's why they got in trouble.
But see, I don't think the guy actually robbed anybody. I think he just kept, like, saying those things to people. Mm. But he did have a knife. And yeah, was,
he probably shouldn't have a knife.
Yeah. So I don't know if the dude was just doing what he thought was a funny prank or... Yeah.
There is a lot of them dumb pranks out there that are, like, you know, crossing the line.
Yeah, because I don't think it said that he actually took anybody's money, but he was, like, threatening people with the doll, with a knife.
So are they, what are they arresting for? Like, attempted
No, like, robbery? Threatening the public, something like that, because... Yeah. He's got a knife in public saying, I'm going to kill you if you don't do stuff. So, you know, it's a threat. And the dude is clearly not totally there because he's walking around with his doll and a knife. So
you know my
that's
favorite,
a threat.
My favorite commercial is, I think it's an Allstate commercial or something like that, when they're like, the guy with the mask is coming out and they're like, quick, run to the running car.
Oh, yeah,
and the
door's open. Yeah.
They're like, no, let's... Let's hide behind the chainsaws.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I love that commercial. That's a good
one. I can't remember how they tie that into the
car
insurance. I like commercials like that where you're like, you remember the commercial, but you don't remember what it was all advertising.
Yeah,
at all.
Or the one that you know, don't be your dad.
Dad.
Where's the Allstate? Where like you're directing traffic, and then like everybody knows they have pink hair. Everybody knows.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because I find myself like in the parking lot, like directing somebody back out of the parking spot. Like,
you doing here. That? I've never done that.
Wait till you get my age. You're just trying to help.
You're just trying to help. People keep telling me I look like a dad. They go, you're looking more like a dad, and I said.
So are you talking about being...
No, people just keep telling me that.
So do y'all want to be parents?
Not right now.
Eventually,
Not right now. I'm 30s? Still working at a restaurant and stuff, you know, we're not...
That doesn't matter. There's like professional restaurant workers.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm doing. So okay. It's like, you know, we're both still like entry level as far as careers go.
Yeah.
We don't want to... I always tell people, like, if you just handed me a baby tomorrow and was like, take care of this thing, like, I'd still accomplish all the things I want to accomplish. Like, it'll just be like 1,000 times more difficult and stressful and all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll just be broke all the time and, you know.
But, I mean, you're still chasing some dreams and stuff like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't give me a baby until we're so a little more.
Baby's going to be death.
Yeah, because I'm just going to be.
Put him on the corner. Hey, we got to produce and practice it.
Yeah, I'm just going to be like blaring drum machines, beats, and weird synth noises for an hour.
So how's the NPC going on your.
It's good. Yeah. It's definitely helped a lot. I think we've done like 3 different things.
The workflow's kind of like smoothing out now.
Way smoother, way quicker. It's less stuff to deal with. And yeah, it's definitely a good. I've still got some songs I need to make live NPC versions of.
Right.
So that was still the big downside, was that I had to like redo everything so that I could use different pieces of gear to make the sounds and stuff.
Right.
But the ones that we have done, it's been very useful. So pretty very pumped cool. about it.
Speaking of songs, my boy Von Juan's got a new song out featuring Dr. Eric Thomas. And if you are not on your game with Dr. Eric Thomas, you need to be. He is a Christian motivational speaker. And this guy has traveled the world motivating people. I looked him up to see how much it would cost to bring him to an event.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can find was $100,000.
No way, dude. No way.
And there's no way because he went to Von Church. And I know they don't handle $100,000, but Von has great connections.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But even if he was $20,000, we couldn't afford him. You know what I'm saying? But he is good, bro. Yeah. He gets taken, he gets to go to like all the.
What's the guy's name again?
Dr. Eric Thomas.
Okay.
He went from being homeless as a teenager to getting his doctor's degree, and he is just man, a motivational speaker that will fire you up.
I like it.
So let's listen to the song Von Juan featured Dr. Eric Thomas, Why Should I Run?
Don't switch up now. God has been good to you, and every time you go through something, you switch up your energy. Every time your bills, you switch up your energy. Every time something going through your marriage, you ready to leave, you ready to quit. Every time your kids go through something, you stop coming to church. Every time something happens, you stop paying your tithe. You better keep that same energy.
Why should I run from trouble when I know that it's the trouble that has made me real, made me real? And why should I run from struggles when I know that it's the struggles that have brought me here, brought me here? So why should I run? Run, run, run down. Why should I run? Run, run, run down. Why should I run? Run, run, run down. Made me real. Why should I run?
Why should I run from the struggle and the pain? These things, they bring change. If you ain't never felt the flames, you can't gain. They say you should consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. I've seen this since a small boy. As I grew up, it ain't changed much. The streets was dangerous. Avoided gunshots, but the Mary Jane and the cane touch became so addicted. Half church, half hood, I was so conflicted. Saw my father lose his life slow. Gruesome nights in the hospital. Tears rolling down my cheek, feeling like the prodigal. I had to climb from the big pen, over myself, thought I was big time, big Ben. Felonies added this pain to my melodies. Disappointments never leave. Injected discipline in my pedigree. Started investing my energy in a better me. Jesus was a remedy.
Why should I run from trouble when I know that it's the trouble that has made me real, made me real? And why should I run from struggles when I know that it's the struggles that have brought me here, brought me here? So why should I run?
Run, run, run
down. Why should I run?
Run, run, run down.
Why should I run?
Run, run, run down.
Make me real. Why should I run?
Run, run, run down.
Why should I run?
Run, run, run down.
Why should I run?
Tripping because it's a famine. God's about to make you fruitful in your suffering. You better wait on God.
Von Juan doing another one. This guy just keeps putting him out there. He's retired like three times and just keeps coming with another smash. Yeah, yeah. So very, very good. Go check him out. He's got a couple new songs that he's put out lately. I think you guys will enjoy them, especially the ones that like hip-hop. And the other ones that didn't, it's got a nice little melody to it. Yeah.
Nice. He's always got a nice little melody.
Yeah, that's his thing is the melodies.
He can actually sing,
right?
Throw harmonies in and stuff. Yeah, you know?
He's done a lot of hooks for a lot of rap songs because people just they love that the vibe between the two. You know?
For sure.
Very good. Well, I want to talk about a few things today. Well, just really one thing. Elon Musk.
Back at it again.
Back in the news. He is finally got the okay to start clinical trials for the Neuralink.
On humans.
On humans, yeah. So look, go ahead and read what he has on X. This
on
is what he
X. Would... This is what he tweeted out. Do they still call them tweets, even though it's not called Twitter? Or they call them something else?
They X'd. No, I think it's still tweets. I don't know.
Anyway. It says, the first human patient will soon receive a Neuralink device. This ultimately has the potential to restore full body movement. In the long term, Neuralink hopes to play a role in AI risk, civilizational risk reduction by improving human to AI and human to human bandwidth by several orders of magnitude. Imagine if Stephen Hawking had this. Do I read? Oh, yeah. And then, so that was like Elon Musk's account, and then under the Neuralink account says, we're excited to announce that recruitment is open for our first in-human clinical trial. If you have quadriplegia due to cervical spine cord injury and amyotrophic lateral cirrhosis, you may qualify. Learn more about our trial by visiting our recent blog post at I think I said all those words.
Yeah, so Stephen Hawking, this is kind of scary because his whole like existence was denying God. So that part of it got, and that part of it right there got me a little bit, you know, sketched out. But after 7 years of clinical trials, Elon Musk is here ready to go on his first, you know.
Well, the point I think of the Stephen Hawking thing was that like he was working on all these
big
things, but his body couldn't work because he had, I guess he probably had one of the things that they mentioned down here, but he couldn't move.
And he's starting with these guys that are like have really no hope, right?
The idea is if you could fix the brain wave, whatever, that was preventing these people from being able to make those connections so that they could move the muscles and be able to walk and all that stuff, then like that was the idea, I think.
Right. So they're starting with the spinal cord injuries and trying to have that re-communication between the nerves and all the things to regrow whatever's been severed and those type of things. I don't know, bro. You know, I've been an Elon fan for a lot of
you're
the
not
things.
You're feeling that, it?
Man, hold up. Too much lean in Elon's cup.
All you quadriplegics, send me
a I don't know, man. Like, my first thoughts are like, okay, so you can help a paraplegic.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
You do that. But then, like, where does it go from there? This is the thing. Where does it go from there? Mm-hmm. So I wake up today and I got the Neuralink, right?
You got it. Okay.
He's hit, you know, I can walk now because I was paraplegic and then now.
It's amazing.
I'm good. But I've missed so much of my life, and now Neuralink has progressed. And now I want to learn how to play the piano.
Okay, yeah.
I just go to my Neuralink app,
download
piano playing.
Nice. I love it.
You know what I mean? Like, that's
yeah, it's amazing. Like, isn't that
that's
great?
The upside, or I want to play the violin.
Uh-huh.
But what about the hackers?
Ooh. Somebody's going to hack your
why
mind.
Why not? They hack everything else.
Yeah.
They just like in public and they're just like, okay, let me, you know.
Like
then,
the dude with the Chucky doll, he learns how to code or something and he's.
And then he's got you out there, you know, dancing like Michael Jackson, acting like a fool and you can't do nothing about it.
Man, you need a ExpressVPN. You need a. That's what it is. You need. Did you all know we got a new sponsor of the show, ExpressVPN? That way you can't
find
your IP.
We're going to take 30 seconds out to talk about ExpressVPN.
That way.
But do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you say, yeah.
I don't know, man. Every generation of man has always wanted to be a god, right? Even from Adam and Eve, right? Don't eat of this tree because it's the tree of knowledge. Blah, 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 blah. All the stuff.
Yeah.
And here we are. Are we playing God again? Are we? I don't know because I'm like, if it was my dad and he was paraplegic, and you could say, hey,
it's quadriplegic.
Quadric, para, whatever.
This is okay. Go ahead.
Any of the plegics.
Okay.
You know?
All of them.
If he could do that,
yeah,
I'd want that for my dad.
For sure.
I'd want that for my kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. I think we've, you know, him trying to get to Mars, that's one thing, setting up cities and, you know, other planets, putting wheels on an iPhone.
The reason this is crazy is because, like, he actually does most of it. Like, he's not just some dude who says, hey, I got a crazy idea.
Yeah, he spends his money.
Yeah, you know, and then he,
just
next thing,
like,
you know.
Just like Twitter.
Yeah.
He thought it was a garbage dump of a place that could really be helpful to people.
So he bought it.
I'll just spend hundreds of billions of dollars and buy it.
And he did it.
Yeah. Neuralink was just an idea of him being able to say, hey, you know, I think we can tap in here, plug a couple cords in, and bop, 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 and you can walk again.
Maybe a little oversimplification, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But when he was talking, this has been talked about since, like, you know.
He's been talking about it for a while.
But even before that, it's been talked about since the 50s. Like, mm-hmm. people being able to, like, put, like, thoughts and sounds in your head.
Yeah.
With some of that, you know, government, you know, what do they call it when they're spying and different things on you? The government warfare, like, type stuff. But he's the one that actually, like, okay, we're just not going to talk about it anymore. We're going to do this, and we're going to make it public. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's my thoughts on it. Is like, so the whole thing works with him basically connecting some kind of computing power to your brain so that your brain can compute the things and it's no longer computing. That's like the general idea, if I understand it correctly. Correct. Anyway. But the brain is in just like in – it's so complicated that I think I've heard him talk about it too. He's like, hey, the brain's really complicated. Like, we don't understand how the vast majority of the brain works. We kind of got some ideas of like this part seems to be where these memories fire and this – but people – it's so complex. So when people talk like, oh, he's going to connect this computer chip to the brain and then we're going to be able to do all this stuff. It's not – they're so incredibly far away from that, I think, that I'm not too terribly worried about that at the moment.
But what if they get the code wrong?
Yeah, what do you get? It's just – it's so complex. There was supposed
to be a zero instead of a one, and then now you don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's not going to be good.
And then who's
but
doing
that's
it?
My point. It's like it's so difficult. It's,
but what if they can like download your conscious and they can figure that out?
Yeah, they can't do that. For sure, it can't do it right now.
Because that's the ultimate goal.
Nobody even knows what your consciousness is yet.
The
still.
Ultimate goal is for him to be able to download conscience and then put you in a robot for you to live forever.
Well, I mean, good luck, man.
Right?
Good luck. But then all of that said, you know, he says crazy ideas like this and then makes them happen. So I don't know, man. But I don't think this is something that's happening anytime soon.
The other thing is this is just another thing where the rich will get richer and the poor get poorer?
Yeah, that's what they say. They say that if they ever start figuring this stuff out and you can actually just connect something to your brain and basically download abilities, like you said, like I want to learn how to play the piano and you just download the code to learn how to play piano, now you can do it. The idea is like everybody's going to be able to do that with everything. And so if you
only if you can afford it.
Yeah, if you can buy the Neuralink or whatever. And if you can't, then you just won't even be able to compete with everybody that can. That's right. What they say. But that's assuming that this works in that way at some point down the road.
As a Christian, when I hear this, go to your next paper. This is what it reminds me of.
All right. He typed out here, Revelation 13, 16 through 18, NIV. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is a number. It is the number of a man. The number is 666.
So are we looking at something like this?
I don't know, man.
I you know, when I hear stuff like this, it automatically goes to the, you know, the mark of the beast. Uh-huh. As a Christian, that's what you think. And I don't know, man. I just think that is the advancement of humans worth the crushing of the soul?
Yeah.
You know? And I just recently heard of this place in California just this week where they brought a certain eagle in, and when they brought this eagle in, it pushed the bald eagle out. Mm. And because of that, this other eagle was more of a land hunter, and the bald eagle was a water hunter, and it fished, mm-hmm. right? So when it done that, it just totally destroyed the ecosystem because this one eagle, this new eagle was hunting these little foxes. Mm-hmm.
And not the fish around
and
there.
Not the fish. So it disrupted the whole ecosystem because of the fox. And then the fox, what it did, because it wasn't there.
And now there's too many of the whatever fish.
Right. So then they somehow started like catching these eagles and moving them out and reintroducing the bald eagle back, and the environment came back around, the ecosystem started rebuilding itself, right?
Yeah.
I think this is to be something like that. Like, we're going to change the fabric of humanity and our ecosystem when we start doing this.
Yeah.
When we live longer than we're supposed to, when we when we're, you know, maybe smarter than we're supposed to be, and all of those things, is it going to change the fabric of who we are now when we download all of this great information, say, as a child, you're born, and then they automatically put a Neuralink in you. Mm. What does that look like?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's assuming that it ever reaches a point like that. Which I'm still not really convinced it will. But it's kind of like it just having the internet these days. Because we have so much more information than we've ever had access to traditionally.
But if you look at that, I think that you've seen the fabric of humanity change there too. Because you've seen now we're having these like crazy number of young people committing suicide and being bullied and never even leaving their home. Mm-hmm. You know? And we're starting to see some of those, you know, we joked a little bit about it earlier when we was talking about the guy, you know, the guy flaggers or whatever. I wasn't totally joking, but you're starting to see a lot of those things that are, that you probably wouldn't, they probably wouldn't advance as fast as they advanced if there wasn't the internet, if there wasn't this, you know, national information base pushing a lot of this stuff out, right? Yeah. So I think we're really seeing some of the effects of that now. We're a generation, you know, my generation, people are going to look back, I think, in 100 years and going, what the heck were they thinking? You know, why were they giving little, you know, three-year-olds male hormones to a little girl, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know, man. That's kind of what I was thinking with here. This could really change the fabric of who we are as people. And then where is God in this? Mm-hmm. Is God in this? I mean, we see Elon kind of flirting with his faith, but at the same time, I don't see his a faith in this product at all, you know? So I don't know. And, like, I know they're doing, the worst patients. They really don't have any hope. So, you could think the quadriplegic people are like, I'd rather take the risk than live like this the rest of my life type deal.
Yeah.
So they're choosing them first. But if it could download and change my dad's cancer and change his heart disease and all those things, and they can give me another 20 years with my dad.
Yeah,
man, I think I would spend my life savings to get 30 more years with my dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but like at what cost?
Yeah.
At what cost of that selfishness that I want with a relationship, what would it cost for my great, great, great grandkids and those type of things?
I don't know, man. Time will tell. It's really tough to
predict
technology decades in advance, you know?
But I like what he does with the cars.
Yeah.
I like the...
Yeah, Tesla driving.
I do, man. I think it's, you know, driving a, you know...
And it's the best by far, especially as far as any electric cars are concerned. Yeah. Like, by far.
I like what he's doing with the rockets, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that space program that he has, that he's been able to recycle a lot of the parts and reuse. And
yeah.
I like it, but at what point do we just say,
But you're not into the Neuralink, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
But some of these quadriplegics, if it work, you know, they might have a totally different view, you know? To be like, hey, I couldn't walk, and now I can walk.
And this is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the thing. As Christians, you know, we say stuff like, have faith, be healed. Mm-hmm. You know, God gave us doctors.
Yeah.
To go to have cancer treatment and to have surgeries.
But couldn't you argue this is just like the newest medicine that's, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Did God give us Elon? You know, to have this
Elon
thing.
Musk a gift from God. Maybe.
And all the oversaved people would just, did he just say he was a gift from God?
Yeah.
I don't know. But we tell people that, you know, as pastors, we tell people that all the time, you know. So I don't know if this is one of those things.
Should I read this last?
Yeah, let's read this last thing. So what happens, like, now that all this is coming out and it is happening, like, mm-hmm. you know, within
starting the trials,
months or, you know, a year or whatever, somebody's going to get one of these things, and it's about the size of a penny. Mm. And they said our skull's about a half inch thick, and they're going to drill this thing and then put it in there, tie the wires in, and then sew you up, and you won't even know that you have it.
So does the thing sit inside your
skull?
So where do you, as far as like download and stuff, is it, do you download it through like Bluetooth or something?
Baby, yeah. Oh, it's gonna be gosh. Something like that.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. I'm sure it's like much more secure advanced than your like your phone trying to connect to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, just like.
But I mean, you can imagine in the future there's going to be a place where you use that in your everyday life too, as a phone or as a communication device and all those things. It's not going to just be for that. If you have it there, why not be able to take your phone calls and all the things, play mm-hmm. your music mm-hmm. and I don't know. But now that he's doing this, now that it's a reality, now that people are starting to come out and we're like, wait. There's been some investigations. What's going on? What happened to all the monkeys that we've tried this on? And so now these people are like talking about the monkeys. So read what Weird did. The publication.
I think it's Wired.
Wired. That's what I could remember. Wired.
Weird, that's funny. It says public records reviewed by Weird.
Weird.
And interviews conducted with a former Neuralink employee and a current researcher at the University of California, Davis Primate Center, paint a wholly different picture of Neuralink's animal research. The documents include veterinary records first made public last year that contain gruesome portrayals of suffering reportedly endured by as many as a dozen of Neuralink's primate subjects, all of whom needed to be euthanized. These records could serve as the basis for any potential SEC probe into Musk's comments about Neuralink, which has faced multiple federal investigations as the company moves towards its goal of releasing the first commercially available brain-computer interface for humans.
Okay.
So basically these monkeys are not doing so good.
Right. So Elon was just like, look, we didn't take healthy monkeys.
Mm.
We took these monkeys that were dying anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why they all had to be euthanized. They were already going to be.
And I was just like, okay, that's fine. But your Neuralink didn't work.
Is that what it said, though, that they didn't work? Or
it said they would have to be euthanized.
Yeah, but you just said that they were going to die anyway.
Well,
so they were already going to be euthanized, right?
But if their Neuralink worked,
well, we don't know what
they would have got better.
Well, we don't know what they were going to be killed for, right? Like maybe the monkey had some kind of AIDS or something.
Well, it just—I mean, would he get too smart? You have to euthanize him.
I don't know, man. Let's see. The document includes veterinary records, gruesome portrayals, suffering reported. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd have to see what Elon said about the monkeys.
Right.
Because this is saying the monkeys had a bad time, basically.
Right.
And Elon's saying yeah, they were having a bad time. That's why we picked them.
Right. So
I don't know.
So your stuff didn't work, obviously.
I mean, I guess.
And I'm sure maybe a lot of that was early on.
Yeah.
You know, in their trials where they were still trying to figure it out and that type of thing. And you know, these a lot of these, like, publications like Wired always go at the worst of the worst.
Yeah, you know.
And this probably was early on where they're still trying to figure this stuff out. And they had to euthanize maybe a bunch of monkeys on the way.
It seems like if it was as bad as they're making it out to be, that they wouldn't be able to
FDA
I'm ready
would have
for...
said stop. Like, we're not putting this on humans yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But so, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of corruption out there.
There is.
So I don't know.
So what was the corruption? So back in the day, what was it? Like, the cigarette, the tobacco market or whatever was paying off the government to say that sugar was bad and not tobacco or whatever.
Yeah.
It was something crazy like that.
Well, there's been a bunch of that stuff. The sugar industry is weird because, well, that was, let me remember, right? Because that was when trans fats started becoming a thing. That's when you started seeing that on all the labels, was the sugar companies being like, no, it's not the sugar.
Yeah.
It's actually the trans fats.
Trans fat.
And so then you started seeing that on the labels of everything. Which, by the way, there's a good Netflix series called Rotten, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And there's a whole, so they just have these different, each episode is like an hour-ish long, and it's just a documentary about a different subject. And they have one about the sugar industry, and that's a pretty interesting one, where it just talks about like where the sugar comes from and all that kind of corruption like you just described, how it's messing up the Everglades right now, which is mostly the sugar company, because they make a bunch of sugar there in Florida, but you have to control the water supply there in the Everglades in order to make the sugar cane fields like able to produce the sugar cane, but so they end up like redirecting all this water from the Everglades, but then that messes up the ecosystem because now you've got this. Anyway, it gets real complicated, and they have all sorts of different. They have one about sugar. They have one about the chocolate industry, which is crazy. They have one about the avocado industry. Yeah. I think I've brought up some of these before. How like the cartels control the avocados now. It's very interesting.
Yeah, when the cartels, anything from Mexico, it's going to come in if it's worth any value at all.
They get their hands on it.
They're going to get their hands on it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's legal.
Yeah.
It's easy for them to get their money back to Mexico.
It's legal to sell avocados, not necessarily the way they're doing it. They just go in and just scoop up a town where that's the only thing that the little village has to offer, and then they just take over the village. They're like, hey, we own your avocados now. You can keep working, and we'll pay you a little something, but these are ours.
But most of the time, the cartel is, besides some of the, like, the rough way they deal with, like, you know, if you don't do something right, they just kill you.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they make it more valuable for the town.
So this is a pro cartel thing then?
No, I'm not really pro cartel. But if you look over history, they've come in and
because they need those people to be on their side,
right?
So they'll give you your cut or whatever.
Yeah,
but
give you your cut.
You got to keep doing this forever, and don't you ever cross me. And,
they bring roads in and out of your town. Uh-huh. You build your building, send your kids to college. Yeah, all the stuff.
And then you get when the cops come and say, "Hey, you seen so and so?" They say, "No, I haven't seen that guy. Really, I don't know that guy." They just know that they got a new school in. Yeah.
Right, so I don't know. They have the template down, to stay in power in places like that. So,
but yes, there's lots of corruption there. The sugar industry also, they paid off different lobbying people to vote the right way so that they can keep their business going the way they want it to go. Because, like with the Everglades thing, it's an issue because they reroute the water, but you need that water. It turns out you need – it's like a ton of water going through the Everglades because it's like a swamp, right? And it leads into the ocean. And so you've got these areas of brackish water where it's partially salty, partially fresh. But when they redirect the fresh water, it messes that all up, which messes with all the fish in the area, which messes with like what you were talking about where you introduce one new animal and it changes the whole thing. So that's been a whole big thing.
Yeah,
and so you've got a lot of like environmentalists saying like, hey, we got to put the water back over here because it's messing up all of this, and the Everglades aren't going to make it if we don't do that. But the sugarcane people are like, nah, we should probably leave it right here because we got our sugarcane fields over here.
See, and, that's what I'm talking about, the Neuralink, bro. I'm
and so, sure. I don't know.
I think it's really going to have create more issues than it creates.
Solutions? More problems than solutions, yeah. You think? I don't know, man. I think it's so far off. I mean, I know they're saying they're doing human trials, but I think it's so far off from what people are afraid of that I'm not too terribly worried about it at the moment.
The problem with technology is it's not linear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just they
it's
take
exponential.
These,
yeah.
Yeah, it's exponential, and they just take these drastic jumps.
But then there's also the thing, I actually heard Elon talk about this in an interview where he's saying, because people will have these kind of conversations like you just did, where they're saying like, yeah, technology just keeps improving. And he's like, hey, technology only improves if you have like your smartest people working really, really hard on it. He's like, things don't just get better. I think he was talking about Tesla stuff at the time or something.
Yeah.
But he's like, it doesn't just improve automatically. There's nothing.
I think that's why God only gives us like one Elon per generation.
Yeah, one Einstein,
you
one whatever.
Yeah, you don't see a bunch of those people.
Yeah.
You know, you get one or two in your lifetime, and that's it.
Yeah, so with him, he's sitting there making the argument. Like, it doesn't just improve. Like, you have to really, really work really hard at it to make it happen. But then, if you take that further, Elon's the guy that does do that. he does work really hard on whatever the thing is, and he does kind of eventually make it happen, it seems like. So, I don't know, man.
Billionaires having fun.
Yeah. That's
kinda
fun.
It's kind of cool.
It's
you
fun.
Because you get to see like stuff like that you would never see before.
Mm-hmm.
Just like these really, really smart people.
Yeah, making rockets and stuff just because he wants to. And
yeah. I don't know, man. I don't have a lot of information about this, and it's kind of scary at times. But at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, interesting to see where it's going to go. But I thought it was something.
It's super interesting.
Yeah.
But it's so far like above me or just like far away from anything that I could impact at all.
Plus,
that it's like, what am I going
to
do?
Like, when would we be able to afford it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When the first computer came out, like most people couldn't afford them.
Yeah.
You know, and it took years to go by before like I would ever be able to afford a nerd. I don't, in my lifetime, you know, I probably, if I get 40 more years of my life, I'll be in my 80s, you know, high 80s.
You sure you won't be like 100 and what? I don't think you got your math right, man. You are getting old.
No.
40 years, man.
I don't know. I don't know if it's ever going to be that affordable.
I don't know.
But you know what? It's going to be affordable.
What?
And Elon just released this yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. I like this Elon talk.
The robot.
Which one?
The one that's going to be, like, helping down around the house.
Oh, what does he call it?
I forgot what he calls it.
I'm trying to remember what that one looks like, because there's a few of these AI robots. Dude, I just heard about this robot cop that they're trying to roll out in New York.
Oh, yeah.
You heard about this? I think like it's the K5, they call it.
I think that's the one that the same company makes that dog.
Probably.
Yeah. That company's like advanced on all that stuff.
I'm trying to remember what all they said he was going to do.
Yeah.
But it was going to be a cop that was just like in the subway. I don't know if he's just like taking tickets or like what he was supposed to be doing, but it was a police officer, but it's a robot, and it had something to do with the subway, and they're talking about rolling him out.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
I don't like that.
But the policeman
was... But you know what? He might be more like analytical about his thoughts than a regular police officer.
I don't know. But the pitch was the guy who... I don't remember if it was the mayor or like... whoever, some political dude in charge of police stuff, he was saying
some crooked New Yorker.
Because they're having trouble getting enough cops, right? Because of all the different, you know, defund the police and all that kind of stuff has been going on in New York. So they're having trouble getting any kind enough policemen to and then the crime's just crazy, and so they don't have enough cops. So this is supposed to be a solution to help with that, and they're supposed to be I think it comes out to like $9 an hour to lease out this robot. So they're like, hey, this is going to save us a lot of money. We're going to be
robot
able
just like whoops up on somebody. just
it's just
gonna
like,
be, you know, it's going to be to a point where your phone's going to tell on you and you're going to get a ticket. Like,
oh man, yeah,
it's going to be like emailed to you because you went over the.
Well, I mean, they have that stuff in China and
because
they have the security cameras all over. So, like, if you're jaywalking China, it has the facial recognition and it'll just dock your social credit score. And it'll just go automatically deduct X amount of money from your bank account to pay for your fine because you jaywalked. It's crazy.
So this is the opposite of all that.
What is?
Okay, so I was just listening to this podcast where he was a professional pool player from Baytown.
Oh, yeah. I listened to some of that. It was like 20 minutes. Yeah. Because he said Baytown. I was like, yo, Baytown. Yeah, I was pulling up dirty to my bay, house. Dirty I said, bay. Yo, dude, straight out of the dirty east side, bro.
He said that he's been paid with buried money.
Married money?
Buried.
He said, as in like, hey, I got gold buried over here. It's yours if I lose.
Like he's played at these like local pool spots that he's won that people had to go like dig up their money to pay him.
But he did get the money.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he said it smelled like real bad because it had like, you know, mildew and stuff. Uh-huh. But he was talking about this old boy, I guess in the pool, and we're done talking about Elon, so if y'all want to go ahead and move on or whatever. But he said that he was in Mississippi, and I guess in the pool betting, gambling arena or whatever you want to call it, that there's stakeholders. Uh-huh. And there's these really rich guys that will bet for these pool players.
Okay.
And then whatever.
As in, like, I'm a dude, I got a lot of money. I'll back this pool player.
Exactly.
And then we split the profits. We'll
split the profits or whatever it may be. I get it. Well, he said that one day that this guy came, and he was just always this really, you know, he's a Mississippi boy with the overalls and always kind of like an old Santa Claus type guy, you know, always real joyful and you know, laughing all the time, you know, coming to the pool hall and just in a good mood. He said that one day he just came and he was just like, just really, really down. Mm-hmm. And they was asking him, man, what's going on? He goes, man, I walked out of the house today and one of my bushes was dug up. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, that was a $30,000 bush. and what happened was his son, him and his son kind of got into it, and his son came and dug up a $30,000
bush. Oh, and just took the money.
And took the money. He said, you know, really not about the money, but it was more the disappointment of his relationship with his son, that his son would just come over. And.
But the son just robbed him just because he wanted the money, or the son was just, like, mad at the dad and took the money. It's like,
yeah, he said that the relationship was kind of, like, you know, distraught, and son was on a little bit of drugs and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
He was just feeling bad for his son. He's in the $30,000. You know, he got a bunch of bushes in the yard.
$30,000. It'll get you a lot of oxy.
So that peel.
I know.
Man, if you want to see what's going on in America, go watch that. We need to talk about it one. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. Yeah. But it was crazy how those guys, all those people died. Mm-hmm. And they just got a slap on the wrist and was able to file bankruptcy and just get out of it.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It is crazy.
Whatever they're cooking in there.
I know. I'm getting a whiff of it.
It smells good.
Let's wrap it up. Yeah.
All right. And we love you.
You can say it.
This is The Refuge Project.